What's the best way to teach a child to pray? Example, what's the best way to teach a child to pray? Yeah, simply say a prayer with them. So for years, my wife and I, we prayed with our children before they went to bed, and they memorized many prayers. Said before, even a three-year-old can memorize the Lord's Prayer, pray it with them every night, maybe even pray the Apostles' Creed together. Well, don't we recite the Apostles' Creed? No, actually, we pray the Apostles' Creed. So there was a very dedicated father and mother who taught their children to pray, and they went out to eat to a very nice restaurant, and the plate came, and the little boy began eating, and the father looked at him and said, haven't you forgotten something? The boy kept on eating. He said, yeah, what? Well, the food was put in front of you when we didn't pray to God yet. And the little boy said, yeah, Dad, but we only pray when Mom's doing the cooking. An older brother and younger daughter were spending a night at their grandmother's house. It's like in November, and they knew that their grandparents were quite generous with Christmas gifts. And so they were praying to God that God would be generous to them during Christmas. And so the older sibling said, let's pray to God. And they talked about what they wanted. And the older sibling said, now it's time for us to pray to God. And real loudly he said, dear God, I'd like a new bike for Christmas. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings. And by the way, I want a new Nintendo game for Christmas as well. And God, please forgive us our sins. And dear God, don't forget, we both want those really nice tennis shoes at the store that cost like $90. And the younger daughter looked at, the girl looked at her brother and said, why are you yelling? I thought God can hear us at all times. The older brother said, yes, God can hear us, but I want to make sure that Grandma hears us as well. So today, I'd like to discuss prayers with you, and you've heard me share this before, so let me refresh you. And so Almighty God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, sent out four of His gifted angels to gather prayers from around the world, and each angel was given a large bag, and they flew around the world collecting prayers. And the first angel was to collect prayers of adoration, of praise, and flew around the world seeking prayers of adoration and praise from God's people around the globe. And the first angel returned to God with somewhat of a blush on his face, and there was very few prayers of adoration and praise to God. And likewise, the second angel came, and the second angel was tasked with bringing in confessions of sin. And the second angel embarrassingly looked to the Father and said, I don't have a whole lot of people who are confessing their sins to you. And the third angel flew back, and the third angel's task was to bring prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for all your blessings you've given to us, both in good times and bad times, and special blessings and ordinary things in life. And the third angel said once again, Heavenly Father, my bag is not better, any better than the first two. And finally, the last angel came, and the bag was overfull so much that the second angel almost needed a second bag. And the fourth angel said, God, these are prayers for people who are asking you for things. Why? Because reality in prayers, many times we don't praise God, we don't confess our sins to God, we don't thank God. But boy, if we need something, what do? Definitely we'll say, God, I need all this stuff, I want all this stuff. You understand the story. Many times we only pray when our backs are against the wall. The book of James is a book that's somewhat hard for us Lutherans because it's about works. And we Lutherans, we were somewhat hesitant toward works. We see it sort of as a Roman Catholic thing. Well, not me, and works, we're saved by grace, but yet we don't put the cart in front of the horse. We as Christians, we do works, and so James exhorts and encourages us believers to works of Christian love. And so in the epistle that I just read to you, there's three areas of works. One is don't be greedy. That's an area of works that we as Christians do. Luther defined greed as neglect of God and neighbor. The second thing we're asked to do is be patient in suffering. That's a work that we as Christians are asked to do. Don't be greedy. Secondly, be patient in suffering. And finally, the third one, as we talked about today, pray for all things and at all times. So James exhorts, encourages us believers to this work of love to pray, because let's be honest, prayer is work. It takes effort. It takes concentration. It takes a real desire on the heart. Here's a picture by the Italian artist Mordello. And I want you to look at the picture, and it's painted in the contemporary, as did many medieval Reformation era painters. And there you see a picture of a very loving father and his son grasping his hands, and the son is being embraced by the love of his father. So let me go ahead and refresh this for you. The son is the younger son who went and blew his father's inheritance and spent time with the pigs and realized that his loving father's arms always open. What's the parable? The parable of the what? What? Prodigal son. And the point there of prayer is that our God is a loving father who extends his arms and runs to us in love. Hence, in the Lord's Prayer, the first two words are what? Our Father, that you and I might approach the throne of God, our Father. And Mordello captures that. The point is that when we pray, we can address God like a loving Father in confidence. I'd like to ask you, since we're talking about works, do you pray? I'm not talking about just in church. Do you pray? Do you pray before meals? A recent congregation I served did a poll of all the members, and we found out that only 13% of members pray before meals. I found that hard to believe. Even last week, I asked our confirmants how many of them prayed before they ate, and a number of them didn't raise their hands. Do you pray? When you come to a train and it stops you, that's God's way of saying, now's the time to pray. When you're in the office waiting for a doctor to come for a doctor's appointment, do you pray? When you're driving down the road with not much going on, do you turn off the radio and do you pray? Of course, don't close your eyes. Do you take time to pray? There's a painting here by Fritz Ude, and Ude captures simple prayer. There, do you see? Do you see the common table prayer? Come, Lord Jesus, what? Be our guests and let thy gifts to us be blessed. And there, when we pray to God, asking him to bless the food and thank God, we're actually inviting Jesus to what? Eat with us. That's Uda's point. Uda's point is there's a hot bowl of soup, and Jesus is the uninvited guest, and he comes and sits with us. Do you take time to pray? And I'm just not talking in church. So keeping with that theme of prayer, let's go to James. He talks about the works of a Christian praying. Can you all read this with me? If anyone of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? The prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Hence, James and our Christian service of praying. And notice you have all sorts of prayers represented there. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, our works of praying. So, for the meat of this sermon, let's play some true or false. I'm not going to have you answer it. Number one, true or false, the best prayers come only from the heart. Don't answer it. What do you say, true or false? Now, many people say, of course it's true. If we don't pray from the heart, it's really not a prayer. Even Dr. Martin Luther said that if you and I do not hear the words to our own prayer, they are not even a prayer. Friends in Christ, when we pray in church, if you're thinking about what you're eating for lunch or if the Browns are going to beat the Bears today, which I hope they will, I'm not going to pray for that. If you're thinking about what you can do for the rest of the day, that is not a what? Prayer. Jesus calls that gibberish. Of course, prayers come from the heart. If we're not praying ourselves, we're not talking to God, God doesn't hear it because it's really not us talking to God. They're simply words that babble on. So, of course, the answer here, everybody would say, well, you know what the answer is, Pastor. But I say it's more than that. See, prayers from the heart, yes, it's a genuine prayer, but also prayers need to be adorned and the heart needs to be adorned. Let me explain. Jesus says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. So Jesus says, are you familiar with my word? Are you growing in your faith? Are you mature in your faith? Do you understand my story? Do you understand who I am? Because friends in Christ, the deeper we grow in faith, the more ardent and heartfelt our prayers are. It's sort of like different people we talk to. We talk to people differently. Of course, we can talk to our loved ones very freely. If If we're talking to a doctor, we talk differently. If we're talking to someone we don't know, we speak to them differently. Yes, prayers come from the heart, but the heart that understands the Word of God is able to more deeply pray to God. Paul says this, St. Paul, we do not know how to pray as we should. No, we don't. Prayer is just more than talking, but the depth of a heart that's entrenched with God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the what? The Spirit. The Spirit works through His Word. The Spirit works with our heart in faith. So yes, prayer comes from the heart, but more importantly, it's a heart that is growing in the faith that's able to pray all the more fervently and meaningfully. And finally, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. What does that mean? Well, we pray to God from the heart, but you and I, sometimes we deal with struggles and we deal with pain and we deal with sorrow and we deal with hurts and there's all sorts of things in our life we can't figure out. And the Holy Spirit intercedes in our heart and He lifts that up for us. So yes, prayer comes from the heart, but more importantly, the heart that is maturing in the Word and growing in its faith is able to more ardently and meaningfully and truthfully pray to God. Does anybody know who that's a picture of? Who is that? Reverend Dietrich, who? Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a confessional Lutheran in Nazi Germany. He was hung 2 weeks before the end of the war. He's an outspoken critic of Hitler, and when you become an outspoken critic of Hitler, you end up in prison, you end up dead. But he left the Lutheran Church gems, like the cost of discipleship and true Christian fellowship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer also spoke about prayer. What Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about prayer is that from the depth of our heart that is immersed in God's Word, come deep prayers. I'll say it again. From the depth of one's heart immersed in God's Word, come deep, meaningful prayers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood prayer, breathing out the Word of God that was in him. Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer. St. Stephen, too, prayed to God. He's the first Christian martyr. While he was being stoned, he said this, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Where did he learn that from? Take a guess. Jesus, because what did Jesus say before he died? "Into your hands I what? Commend my spirit." You see, Stephen even prayed from the depth of God's heart, learning from his master himself. So we go back, prayer is only from the heart. Well, that's true, but it's somewhat misleading. Prayer also comes from a heart of a person whose soul is immersed in God's Word and growing in the faith. Next one. The prayers of a righteous person count more than what? My prayers. We often think that. "Pastor Muse, I know you're in good with a big man upstairs. Will you pray for me?" "Yeah, and $20, I'll get you a long way." I'm just kidding. You only have to give me 10. No, don't do that. "I know you're in good with the guy, man. You got to pray for me." What do you think, true or false? A prayer of a righteous person counts more than my prayers, because I haven't been living a good life right now, and boy, and I need some help. Well, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God, Luke 5:16. For any believer in Jesus Christ, they are righteous and they are a righteous person, and that's a prayer of a righteous person, correct? We see righteous as someone who's maybe a little bit more religious than us, and they're maybe more dedicated than us, and they maybe keep their head a little bit more than us, and they're more godly than us. But the reality, friends in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, as a believer in Jesus, you are a righteous person. You're in faith with Jesus, you are considered righteous. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to God's throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need." We're a righteous person. Think about Modelo's picture of the son with the father, and God hears the prayer of the what? Of the righteous, yes. Believer in Jesus, you don't need to find a righteous person. You yourself are a righteous person. A prayer of a righteous person, God hears. He hears only people who are in faith, and that makes you and I righteous. Nobody here would consider the thief on the cross a righteous person. If not, he wouldn't be crucified in the nude. But yet he was a righteous person because he said what? "Lord, remember me when you what? Come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Today you'll be with me where?" Jesus heard the prayers of that righteous person, the prayer of a repentant heart. That's you and I. So no, the prayer of a righteous person. You're in faith, you are a righteous person. Next one. The more good I do, the more God will what? If I put more money in the plate, God hears me more. "God, if you only let my team win on Saturday, I promise I'll be in church the next 4 Sundays." So make sure this Hail Mary works. "God, you got to help me out here." Or maybe she'll say yes when I ask her on a date or whatever. I get this promotion. God, I promise you I'll get all this stuff. Well, I think you know the answer for this one. All promises of God are what? Yes, in Christ Jesus. Not because we do more good works. He is our loving Father. We pray to Him. You heard that verse before? Let us draw with confidence for the throne of grace. Next one. While God commands prayers, prayers are really for me. Oh, that sounds like a hard one. Prayers are for me. Matter of fact, that sounds a little selfish. We're told to pray for all people in all times, and we're even told to pray for kings and leaders. Somebody asked me, Pastor Muse, if you were alive at that time, would you pray for Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler? And what's the answer? Say it. Yes. Why would you pray for them? Well, if God can't help them, who can? Pray for all people. But here you're being asked our prayers for me. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I what? We're praying for ourselves there, aren't we? You're asking God for a blessing, for healing, for faith, for a job, for a problem to go away, for peace in our hearts. As we are children of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying. Our heart cries, Abba, Father, hear me. So we are praying for me. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Prayers are for me. I know it sounds selfish. A sharp confirmation student in my class said this, Pastor, does God know all things? Yes. Does He know the future? Yes. Does God know my heart? Yes. Does God know what I desire? Yes. Does God know what I need? Yes. Does God know my past? Yes. Does God know my sins? Yes. Does God know my deepest thoughts and my secrets? Yes. Does God know what hurts me the most? Yes. Well, if God knows all those things, then why do I need to pray to God? He already knows all that. What do we need to pray to God for? God knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. He knows everything about me. What do I need to pray to God? Well, friends in Christ, I'll say this to you. When we pray to God, we are simply acknowledging that He is King and Lord, and we're putting our heart into Him. So in reality, prayers are really for who? Us. God doesn't need us to pray to Him. He knows it. But what God does ask is for us to put our heart and soul into Him and trust Him that He hears us. So prayers really are for us. They're God's gift to us. Think of prayer like this. God handed you His cell phone with His private number. Call me whenever you need anything. Here's my business card. Give me a call if you need anything. Prayers are for us. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come before You. Turn Your ear to me and answer me quickly. Yes, true, we pray for everyone. We're even told to pray for our enemies and to love those who persecute us. We're told to pray for kings. But prayers are really God's gift to who? Us. You ever had a tear in your eye when someone prayed for you over something deep? Have you ever felt peace in your heart when you prayed to God over a serious issue? Yes, prayers are God's gift to us. David prayed, trusting in God, create in me a clean heart, O God. David knew God was going to do that, but that was David lifting up his heart in prayer. Prayer for him. Prayer for him. So I'm asking you all, because James is about works, so I'm asking you for a work. I'm asking you for time. Or God's asking you for time and effort. Each day this week, I want you to say a prayer of acts. Every angel gets something in the angel's bag. Pray for a prayer of adoration, praising God. A prayer of confession, confessing a sin. A prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God for something you have. And a prayer of supplication, something you need. Or pray for somebody else. Fill up all the angels' bags with prayers. This week I'm asking you to do that. As a redeemed child of God, as a forgiven child of God, let's all do that. As redeemed, forgiven children of God, whose heaven is our home. So how about this for a closing thought? How about if we say and pray it together? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. And as praying people, all God's people say, Amen.